Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Aspira Delaware Charter Operation Board meeting for the month of February. We do have items for strategy and planning, so I really appreciate if we can do a motion to move to executive session.
Motion to
move to the executive session.
Do I have a second?
Second, Santiago.
Thank you. All those in favor? Aye. Any opposition? Okay, so well, let's go ahead and move to executive session. We'll be to welcome back to the Aspira Delaware Charter Operation February board meeting. We need a motion to come back to the public session. Do I have a motion?
Motion to move back to public session, Rolando.
Do I have a second?
Second, Penix Stadson.
Thank you. All those in favor? Aye. No objections. So we'll go ahead and move to the public session. So Margie, do we have any public?
Well, we have Lisa, the teacher, the spotlight. She's in the waiting room. Can I let her in?
Yes, we're ready for that. So let's just do the approval of the meeting minutes. Margie, if you can just go ahead and put the agenda up.
Oh, okay, hold on.
Sorry.
Okay.
So very quickly, let's review the agenda. We have come back out of the executive session, so we can go down. We'll move to approval of the agenda and meeting minutes. Then we'll have Ms. Lisa Westerfield as our invited guest for this evening, and quickly then move to the financial report. And actually, Luis will be presenting those for Greg. We'll have an update for development committee. Marisa will be doing that. And then D&I, Rebecca will be doing that. The PTO, and that needs to also be updated. Unfortunately, Anna is not able to join us tonight. So I will give the update for her, and then we'll wrap up and finish with the CEO report. Any other changes to the agenda? And do I have a motion to approve the agenda as updated?
Motion to approve the agenda as updated, Guillermina Gonzalez.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second, Rem.
Thank you. We have the agenda. So Margie, do you have the meeting minutes also available that we can quickly?
Yeah. Let me pull them up. Hold on. Alberto, did you send them to me?
They should be in Greg's email.
It's the one Alberto, is it the email you just sent?
Those were the meeting minutes, the agenda. Sorry, the minutes are from Greg's email. I'll forward it again, so it's at the top of your email.
The document that says meeting minutes, it's a financial document. It has a bunch of numbers.
Let me pull it. I'll send it to you right now. Sorry.
Meanwhile, maybe Marisa can report what she can see from Alaska, because she can see Russia from there.
No, not from where I am. No, you cannot see Alaska from my house. I'm sorry, you cannot see Russia from my house. You can see Alaska from my house, but you cannot see Russia. What I can do is I can show you the view out my window.
Well, that'd be nice, just for a change. Why not?
Let me turn my background off. Oh, it's so bright out.
still.
Oh, it is bright.
Now you can see the parking lot. There you go. Oh, you can't see. So that's all mountains there in the distance, but it's too bright. It's too bright out.
Very nice. Thanks for sharing. So no Russia. That's okay.
Yeah, you can't see Russia from my house, unfortunately. I don't think you can see
Russia. Our friend Putin over there, but we're gonna refrain from saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. The call is recorded.
it's a public meeting and it's recorded. So the meeting minutes for the January meeting. So any updates to the meeting minutes? Do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes as presented?
Motion to approve the meeting minutes as presented, Brown.
Do I have a second?
Second, Rem.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye or thumbs up. Meeting minutes approved. So let's go ahead and Miss Lisa Westerfield, welcome to the board meeting and thank you for taking time off your busy schedule to talk to us. So please, Margie, you can introduce or you go ahead.
Yes. Well, hold on, let me get the document. Yeah, so I don't want to steal any of Lisa's thunder. So she did a great presentation. She's gonna give us a nice introduction to her background. But this is Lisa's first year with us. We're excited that she joined us. She is really the reason why we have global leadership as a career pathway. When she was interviewing for the position, she had shared this idea with Debbie, and it was something that Debbie, was really excited about. So Lisa has brought that concept, that idea, and she's really has implemented it. But I want her to sort of explain to you sort of her inspiration for that pathway. So Lisa.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Thank you for having me. You want to go ahead and forward the slide? Okay. So when I set this up, I was told to kind of just introduce myself and give you a little bit about myself since I haven't had the pleasure of meeting everyone yet. So just very briefly about myself, I guess my number one guy is my grandson. He currently lives with us, so he might pop in here, I don't know, just a heads up. My husband is former Air Force, so I've been around a little bit, traveled, seen some things, and really have gotten an interest in travel, et cetera, a lot of different cultural things, and also in these experiences, I've also seen a lot of issues, and global issues really became my passion. And then having that kind of filter into wanting to see students kind of take a lead in things. So I didn't want to go into too much of this, but my focus is I have like a master's degree in econ and in secondary ed, and then I have a couple of bachelor's degree in history with a European emphasis. So that's kind of where I went with that. So if you want to advance, thank you. I just thought I'd share my schedule right now so you'd know currently what I'm teaching this year. I did first semester, I did have the AVA students for economics and civics. Currently this year, I'm teaching the freshman seminar and I have Ms. Florian's AP HUG group. So they're already learning a lot about the world and things like that. So in freshman seminar, I decided to kind of start giving them a taste of leadership. And so in that class currently, I'm giving them leadership positions because I feel like in order for them to start learning about leadership, they need to have the opportunity to practice leadership. So they all have class jobs. They all have responsibilities to build a community within our classroom. And so they've done that very well, especially the second semester. It's growing on them, if that makes sense. They're really taking hold of respect for their classroom. They pick up the trash. They make sure people are you know, doing what they're supposed to do, staying on task, making the classroom environment, you know, a learning environment, which is very important for all of us. Other things I'm doing, this is my first year of teaching the AP microeconomics. It's been a lot of fun. I'm trying to keep it interactive so the kids are busy, hands-on, up out of their chairs, actually living econ. And unfortunately, with Putin's choice up to his choice last night, it allowed for a real world discussion today about the stock market and price of oil. Even though that's more macro, we still took that all the way down into one of the students getting upset because he's about to buy a car for the first time. And how is he going to afford the gas? So they actually are starting to kind of really take and understand and relate it to their own lives. And it's been a great experience so far. Some of the clubs, Debbie has been very nice to kind of let me take on clubs that I feel in my previous job, because I was from Newark Charter. I was there when they opened up the high school, and I really was able to take and get some clubs off the ground there. And I wanted to bring them as well here to Aspira. And so I organized the whole school Martin Luther King Service Day, where we made blankets out of old t-shirts, and they collected those. We also made plastic mats, and I think I have a picture of that in another slide here in a second. So I'll talk about that a little further. Student Council, I've started Student Council. We will actually have our first elections next month to get ready for next year. This year, I didn't really hold elections because we wanted the kids to understand what Student Council was and get involved in it to that level. I'm currently a co-advisor of Model United Nations. I was a co-advisor at Newark Charter, so I'm working with Ms. Florian and teaching the kids about how to debate on global issues. And we haven't gotten to the point of going to conference yet because everything's online still, and the students aren't really interested in another virtual experience. They want to wait till we can go in person. I also have a study hall, but I'm also the co-advisor for International Club. And currently we're planning our trip to Costa Rica in 2023. We have approximately 27 students signed up, so we're excited about that. And then also, I don't know if you have heard of Multiplying Good before, but it's a national organization that has a student-centered service group known as Students in Action Team. And students then would create service projects and do those service projects. And then after so many hours, they would go and present in April. But for us, we are just kind of starting off. So we're kind of just implementing it through Student Council as of right now. But the blankets and such actually that idea came from a previous service project I did, but the Students in Action Team through Multiplying Good actually donated $300 to us to help do that service project for Martin Luther King Day. Can you go ahead and advance? So traditions, in my opinion, are very, very important in high school. And I feel the students need to take ownership of those traditions. And so we started with Student Council actually having our first pep rally. And I will tell you now, it was so much fun. They were loud, they were proud, they had a blast. And we ended up creating a couple activities. The picture you're seeing here on the top left is a Hungry Hungry Hippo, human level. So that was a lot of fun. If you played that before, it's so much fun. We also did a tug of war for the teams to celebrate the teams, the fall sports teams. And then we played the ultimate teacher versus student volleyball game. And we had to go into that for 2 days because we had a tie and the kids wanted to make sure they win. So we had to go back and play to finish it up. So we had a tiebreaker. After the end of that week, I can describe the week a little bit. We had Spirit Week. So this was the first time the students unified as a class. So all the ninth graders had a hallway and they were responsible to decorate that hallway. All the sophomores had a hallway. They decorated their hallway. And then the eighth grade scholars also had a hallway. And they spent a whole week planning their hallway, getting things together. And they had a blast. They had a great time. We spent a couple afternoons during club time for about a week, putting their stuff on the wall, and they were really proud of what it came out to look like. As that week ended, we ended our week with the fall ball. So we don't have a prom yet because we don't have juniors yet. So that's something I'm working on for next year. So this was our fall ball. The students had a blast. We were able to bring it together, even though masks were required, which is not a problem. That didn't stop them. They danced the night away, as they would say. And they did have a lot of fun. Another thing that we're thinking about turning into a tradition is October, I believe it was, beginning of November, because we did have a rain date. We went to Melbourne Orchards and brought 74 kids to a bonfire. And a lot of those kids had never roasted marshmallows before. So we loaded them up with hot dogs, hot dog buns, marshmallows, apple cider, you know, the whole works. And they had so much fun just being together. So in my opinion, the most important part about building this tradition, this of high school for me, is really unifying the class. You know, getting them to see themselves as a family, all the ninth graders working together on something together and making it their own, all the 10th graders doing that. And of course you'll have those opportunities where they're mixing classes as well. But for Spirit Week, we kind of turned it, you know, it's usually a competition between class. So that was a lot of fun. Student Council also just recently organized the month of February to celebrate HBCUs. And we had different speakers. We had a STEP team. Ms. Rim and Ms. Lopez-Waite also came. And so the kids today, I got some feedback from them because this is the first time that we had ever done this. So I wanted to kind of get from them what they would like to see next year, because we want to actually have a college fair next year. We're going to have juniors in the building for the first time. And so we actually want to invite, you know, about however many colleges we can get. If we can get 20 colleges to come in and make it a full-blown college fair, then that's what we're going to shoot for. But the students really enjoyed listening to the descriptions of campus life and the idea of life is real. You know, you got to work to go to college. You have other things happening, but college is, you know, you have to work for it. And also one of the students mentioned, which I thought was really interesting, is they don't want to just hear about the fun stuff. They want to hear maybe something that's an issue on campus, like something that they could look for and know it might happen later. So that was one of the feedbacks that I received today when I spoke with them. And the final pictures I put on here were of the service day project. We were able to donate 9 blankets that are approximately twin bed size blankets. And with those blankets, we created, took recycled old plastic bags and created mats. So when the homeless person would use it, they would put the mat down so it wouldn't get the blanket wet. And then that would be part of a layer of protection. The students also wrote notes to the individuals who were going to receive the blankets. And so Friendship House came and picked these blankets up last week, I believe it was. And in addition to that, the students were able to gather donations of all other blankets. We picked up jeans. I mean, everybody went crazy. We had like 6 giant bags of clothes that they donated to the Friendship House. We also created 100 sock bottle dog toys, whatever that's called. And we also weaved braided rope. We braided old parts of the t-shirt that we didn't use for the blanket. We braided those together to make dog toys. So they end up, we're donating those to the Humane Society in Delaware. Okay, Margie, can you advance for me? So visions for the future. So one of the standards for civics is civic participation. Students learning action. And my good friend, Matt Meyer, he's amazing. He came in and spoke to the kids first semester and talked about the issues happening in Delaware and kind of gave them some ideas of issues that they could focus on to try to tackle in a presentation. So the idea of that actually is what started my kind of path down this global leadership idea. I want the kids not to just write about what they could do, but I want them to do it. So we, in the past, so I did this for 8 years at Newark Charter. And one of the things that came out of that was the quietest kid became the most confident in front of an audience of 500 people. They did everything and they were proud of it for that reason. So through this pathway, the goal is to nurture their confidence, get them to understand that they can do it, and to step up and, you know, voice change, if you want to say. It could be environmental change, it could be social justice change, it could be just the awareness and teaching that to other people in the community. So that's kind of the, like, the long-term vision. And through that, what I have is I have already a relationship with the Newark Morning Rotary Club, who will also be coming in next year and adopting us, where the students will actually be pinned as interactors after their second year. I also work closely with the American Red Cross, where the students will be able to take on the Youth Action Campaign, which the National Red Cross actually creates a different theme every year. And then the students learn how to create an event around that theme and to teach other people about how they can understand more about the breakdown of culture, how that actually is against international law to take culture away from people. And also currently, I also work with the University of Delaware's Leadership Capstone students, and they will be actually coming in this year with my freshman seminar, and they're going to be teaching them, or coaching them is a better way to say it, coaching them leadership skills. And then they will use those skills to put on a conference that first Saturday in May. So I'm hoping to actually get down to the East Campus and invite the eighth graders to this conference as well. This year, it's more or less going to be the university students creating the conference, but next year it will be a partnership between the Pathway students and the leadership students to host this conference for hopefully seventh through eighth grade is what we usually focus on. So we're very, very excited about starting this. I'm already trying to recruit kids from my freshman pathway, our freshman seminar course, to join next year. I already have some students who are very outspoken, which I think would lead them really well. I would like to lead them into this pathway, if you want to say. So I kind of put the travel to Costa Rica on this one, just because we will continue to travel to different places. Hopefully Peru in 2024, just because we really think the kids learning and getting outside of Delaware and learning about other cultures and other people is really going to enhance their future. And I asked if there was any questions. That was a lot in really quick. Sorry.
Congratulations. Very impressive. Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree. I very much appreciated bringing your successes from previous experiences for us to that. It's a brand new high school, so you know, we don't have the framework, we don't have the history. So this is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you very much,
Lisa. One, two questions real short, real quick. One, are we invited to any of the trips?
Yes, definitely. Come on over.
Yeah, just make sure our name doesn't disappear from the email invite. And then now one thing that you had hit on around, I guess it was the exposure to college in the HBCU week. You'd mentioned that the students wanted to understand issues on campus. what issues were they, like, what issues were they trying to understand? Or could you unpack that just a little bit? Because I thought it was really interesting that they wanted to know about, you know, that. So I'm just curious on, like, what were they thinking about? And what do they wish they got out of that experience?
They didn't specify, like, specifically say what issue they want to learn about. They just, and she's amazing. This girl's amazing. One of the things she really thinks about is it's not all sugar-coated. You know, there's reality to college. And she doesn't want people just to talk about all the good stuff. Mm. You know, she's like, I want to know I'm going to be eating ramen for like 4 years, you know? Yeah. And what other things should she be watching for, you know, going onto a campus? You know, there's dangers, obviously. First time away from home, a lot of times, you know how freshmen are. They kind of start to experiment a little bit, freshmen in college. And so that's kind of, I think she didn't specify. She was just more or less saying, I don't want to know only the good stuff. I want to know the other things that I can be more educated about.
Got it.
That resonated with me, you know, with the Saturday Academies for on Aspira, Delaware. We used to have a student panel, and one of the guidance to them, the way I would describe it, is we want to know the good, the bad, and the ugly of that transition to college. Because, I mean, sometimes it's as simple as all of a sudden you need to manage your budget. All of a sudden you need to do laundry. All of a sudden, you know, you might eat on the cafeteria, but you might need to prepare your meals. So, and it just, because you're so focused on the academic, there are all these peripheral things that people might not think about, but they are as important to survive.
Right. Hey, Lisa, I would suggest that we also tap into the former Aspira alum.
Oh, okay.
You don't have any at the high school, but you have plenty that graduated through the lower school who have now gone on to college. So I'll volunteer my child, who is who is a freshman at Morgan State.
Oh, right. Wonderful.
But he has a good story. You want to hear the good and the bad? He'll tell you about how he mismanaged his time and the difficult conversations he's had to have with mom and the reckoning about, right? He'll tell you about his friends and being a distraction. So I think that I was honored to come talk, and I told you anytime you need me, just call. But I think that some of our kids who graduated from who have graduated high school that went through Aspira for the elementary and middle school might also be great resources. I mean, they have real stories to tell.
Oh, that'd be great. Yes, definitely. Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think about, it's being new.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, by now we have two classes that have gone into college that have graduated from Aspira on eighth grade. We have two classes that are at the college level, freshman and sophomore now.
Wonderful. Yeah, that would be great resource. So because like I said, we're trying to plan something next year to do like a college week where every day would be something highlighting. Maybe students would be a great addition to a day. That would be great. So I'll come find you and ask.
You got it. You put Trey Ram on the agenda. And
got it. One thing I did forget to put on my slide that I think is really important is I am going to be... I have one more project to write up, and then I am going to have Aspira's High School be a No Place for Hate designation through the Anti-Defamation League. I've been working with that organization for about 13 years now, and they have a wonderful program out of Philly. And so actually probably the next project that we do will be our final, because you have to do 3 a year, and then they send you a banner. There's only a couple schools in Delaware that are even No Place for Hate designated currently. And so I'm really wanting to bring that to Aspira as well, because I think it's important that the kids have this, you know, there's always places that we can improve on, you know, and knowing that we can maybe have that organization as a toolbox for us too is really important to me.
Good. Thank you. So you can see Lisa just keeps coming up with new ideas. So.
That's outstanding.
Thank you.
Congratulations, and welcome to the team.
All right. Thank you so much. It was wonderful to meet everybody. Have a great evening.
You too. Take care.
Take care.
Absolutely, you're welcome to stay, or you're certainly welcome to sign off as well.
I think my grandson's going to pop in, so I will talk to you soon. Take care.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move to the financial reports. I think, Luis, you're stepping in for Greg.
I am. I'm sharing my screen. Let me know when everyone can see it.
Yep.
And I will try to do the best I can for my man, Greg. So he's on a good earned vacation in Florida right now. So look, our financial report, I'll start with the cover sheet real quick. Remember that we're on a school calendar. So we are 58% throughout the year, given our year really starts in July, now that it's February. And we'll start with the revenue. So we'll start with the revenue and then get into our expenditures after that. Just a reminder, there's three buckets of revenue. So I'll start with our state, our local funding, and then I'll get into our federal funding. So for our state, our budget was 11.5 million. Right now we've hit our target of 11.5 million in terms of what's been received for this year. So no concerns there on that revenue bucket. Our local bucket, we've had a revenue budget of 8.3 million. Right now we're at 7.3 million, or 89% of that bucket has come in. So again, that's ahead of our spending of 58% throughout the year. So no concerns there. And then our last bucket from federal is we had a budget of 1.4 million. We've gotten 1.4 million or slightly above that at 101%. So what that really means is that for our total year to date, we had a budget of 21 million. Year to date, we've received about 20 million of that, or 96% of our funding for this calendar year. So really, on point, really no major concerns regarding that. Okay. So our expenditure detail, what this really is a summary of all of our expenses in their big major buckets. Right now, all of our buckets are in line with our target expenditure of 58%. So the idea is that if we're 58% through the school year, we've spent 58% of our budget. So right now we've spent a total of 62% of our expenses that we budgeted. The only line item that is really out of whack of that parameter is always the capital outlay, but that is because we pay all of our annual debt service in the beginning of every calendar year for the school. So July 1st comes, we actually pay the entire bond service of about 1.8 million, well, 1.4 plus some additional debt, but that's always, we pay it up front, and that pretty much is always out of whack, and then we eventually catch up. So, but from a total dollar perspective, again, we've had $21 million budgeted. We spent 13 million. So again, 62%, no concerns there. All right, I'll get into our trending, and what this really is trying to measure at the end of the day is, have we spent more than we've taken in throughout the actual year from a projecting? So if you take a look at the blue line, that's our revenue line. That number continues to go up. What we want to make sure is that red line, which is our year-to-date expenditures, eventually gets below the blue line. And so it's trending like it does every year. Every year we always spend initially more than what we've gotten in our revenue, and then our revenue eventually catches up and our expenses tend to be lower than our revenue throughout the year. So again, no concerns there. It's really par for the course. Our local funding update, what this is basically our, a breakout of where our students come from, and then what that means in terms of some budget numbers. But again, no concerns there, just a breakout and an understanding of where our students are actually coming from. All right, so our cash position.
I guess the only point I would make there is, I mean, that serves to remind ourselves the number of students that we're serving, which is 1,225. So it's a good number from a board member perspective. Sometimes like, well, how big is the school? Where we're serving over 1,200 students.
Yep. Thank you for that. Perfect. And then our cash position. So today, when we take a look at our cash position, year to date received is about 25 million from a cash perspective. Again, we spent 13 and have about 15 encumbered. But again, no concerns there with regards to our cash position. I will go to our grants. So here's, I would say, what, probably a year or two ago, Lotus, we started, and really in 2020, we started tracking all of the grants that we were applying for. The grants in yellow are grants that we have received for the specific capital campaign that we have. Again, this is showing total grants that we've always applied for, but these in particular have come in specifically for the capital campaign. So that's about $172,000 today that we have gotten for the $3 million target for the capital campaign. So pause there. All right. So I'm gonna now just go through our expenditure details real quick. So one of our biggest line items are our salaries. We had year to date $8.9 million budgeted. We spent $5.4 million and or 61% year to date. So that's in line. Our other employment costs, our benefits, our workman's comp, all those different other expenses that come to support our employees. We have 4.7 budgeted. We spent 2.6 and or 56% of the budget. Total travel, we've had 1.4 million. We spent about 700,000 and or 52% year to date. So no expenses there. Some other items I will, sorry if it's all over the place. So our total contracted services, so think about things like training, advertising, printing, storage, database, so things that are just outsourced to support the school. Those costs are about 2.6 million is what we budgeted, 1.7 is what we spent, and or 67%. Again, not a huge variation off of the 58%, so no concerns there. Our total supplies and materials, think of custodial expenses, textbooks, building materials, athletic supplies. That's 1.2 million. We have spent about 700,000 and or 56% year to date. So no concerns there. Total capital outlay and equipment. So think of all the furniture, custodial equipment, audio visual equipment. 50,000 is what we budgeted. We spent today about 4,000 and or 8%. So no concerns there. The total capital outlay for the property. So again, this is that big bucket I shared with you, taking up majority of bond debt service. We budgeted 2.1 million. We've spent 1.8 or 86%. But again, it's primarily due to because we pay our debt service annually upfront every year. So no concerns there. So our total budget, 21 million that we've had budgeted, total spent about 13.1 and or 62% spent throughout the year. So again, no concerns, really straightforward for the year. So I'll pause and see if there's any questions. All right, hearing none.
So do we have a motion to approve the financial report as presented?
Motion to approve the financials as presented, Guillermina Gonzalez.
Do I have a second?
Second, Rolone Dow.
Thank you. All those in favor, thumbs up, aye. Any opposition? Thank you. Report is being approved. So we'll go to the committee reports. I think we'll start with development. Marisa?
Hi. So the first sort of update, sorry, my sidekick was blocking my view of my notes. The first update with respect to the development committee relates to the expansion campaign. There was a kickoff meeting of the expansion campaign committee on January 24th, 2022. And then the second meeting was yesterday. Each committee member received in advance of yesterday's meeting a package with the case for support and welcome letter. And then there will be additional members added to the committee in the coming weeks. And right now, Wanda is doing one-on-ones with each committee member, soliciting ideas and discussing the campaign generally. Right now, the committee is focusing on building out a list of prospective donors and scheduling tour and talk sessions. I defer to Lourdes if she has additional things to add to this report, only because I had trouble hearing at the meeting yesterday, and I don't want to miss anything because I could tell that there were a lot of good ideas being circulated, but I didn't fully hear them. So I didn't know if Lourdes had anything to add.
Yeah, I mean, it was just unfortunate. We tried to have a hybrid meeting, some people on Zoom and some people in the meeting in the room at the high school, and it wasn't as successful in terms of communication as we thought, but it was very productive and people were engaged and lots of ideas and recommendations to upgrade our brochure. You guys have seen it. So we will have another version. We're gonna be on version number 3 by the time it's all said and done, but that was really good. Also, good brainstorm about prospects to help us in this next phase. And actually that is also part of, I kind of had it as an agenda item for the executive session in terms of a call for engagement and participation on the board as well. So we'll follow up on communication around that, but I think we're way on their way to support the campaign. The goal is $3 million, and we have done a lot of the grant writing, and we have the next wave of grants to be submitted in this quarter, and then from there do the push for the next. The last $500,000 to get to the goal of $3 million. So we certainly can ask Lynn and Wanda to join us in a future meeting to give us more updates. But yeah, things are going well.
And on the grants point, Luis had shown us the grants that were received specifically in connection with the expansion campaign as part of his presentation. And then there's 3 additional grants that are gonna be applied for in the coming months. One is the Longwood Foundation, which is due March 1st. And I understand Margie and Greg are working on that. And they met with Thayer DuPont about that particular grant. I don't know if Margie, if you wanted to add anything. I don't want to put you on the spot.
If you request more than $500,000, you have to have the meeting. And then we'll have a follow-up meeting with him. But it was just a really good way to give him an update. And he brought 2 of his new teammates from the office. So they got to meet us. But I think it was good to just sort of set the expectations as about what's the ask and, what would be the best way for us to position that ask and what are things that would be seen as favorable versus not as favorable. So we're going to be asking for $2 million. So we'll see what happens.
And then the other 2 are the Welfare Foundation and the Crystal Trust. I understand that the Welfare Foundation has 2 different deadlines. So there's an April 15th deadline, and there's also an October 15th deadline. And Margie and Greg are preparing that one. I understand that they
they may be going for the April 15th deadline. And then the Crystal Trust is a September 15th deadline, and Lynn is going to be preparing that. I'm going to skip a little bit ahead and then get back to the board goal objectives. So we talked about upcoming school events. As you know, we were always trying to get board members to go to the school events, but then the ones that we find out about because of COVID, you know, they're either canceled because of COVID, or we know that there's limited indoor seating and we don't want to take seats away from parents, but hopefully in the coming years, we'll be able to start getting stuff. One event that they had was just this past Monday. There was a mobile, pop-up mobile food pantry. And it was 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. with Delaware Food Bank. They gave away 10,000 pounds of food and served over 100 adults and children. They'd like to start doing these pop-up food pantries monthly or at least quarterly. But the church next door also does these on a monthly basis, so they don't want to conflict with the church's schedule. So it may be so that, but that everybody would be able to get food at least a couple times a month. The school musical is coming up March 18th, 19th, and 26th. And again, I'm sure that the board members, if you would like to attend, you'd be welcome to attend to get tickets for that. But again, being mindful that it is going to be indoor. I think the hope is that, you know, to the extent that there's only limited seating or we're trying to do social distance seating, the parents would be able to see their kids perform. April is literacy week, April 4th through April 8th. May is Team Appreciation Week. And as you probably recall, we sponsored a board sponsored lunch last year. And so they're asking again that the board sponsor a lunch for May 12th. So I don't know if anybody has any feedback on that. If I don't hear any feedback, I'm going to assume we're going to do it. And then you look for emails from me. So, okay. I'm seeing a lot of nodding heads and thumbs up. So, okay, we're going to do it. So look for emails in the coming, you know, it's a couple months away, but, look for emails coming from me and or Lynn on that. So we can get that rolling. And then June, there's going to be a golf tournament fundraising event, June 9th at the New York Country Club. So that would be something that anybody who likes to play golf would be welcome to attend. One of the only other updates was that I guess there has been some difficulty getting the PTO off the ground this, you know, post-COVID. You know, people at the school are making a lot of efforts to engage with the PTO to get the sort of the PTO rolling, but it sounds like you know, there's some difficulty there. So they just wanted me to report back to the board to let them know that's an area that is sort of, as compared to maybe other schools, is lacking. And there are teachers who are willing to volunteer, but I guess there just aren't being a lot of meetings and there's difficulties with getting communications going. Especially with respect to the expansion campaign, because the first part of the expansion campaign is going to be the friends and family, that, you know, having a healthy and thriving PTO would be really critical to that getting off the ground. So skipping back to the board goals and objectives during the executive session, we spoke about the first objective that the development committee had taken on, and that was to create three initiatives to help create to help promote the school's goal of having all students be bilingual. So the three initiatives that the development committee came up with and that the board seems to be on board with. So now it's a matter of just, you know, running those down a little bit more, or having more bilingual performing arts events. There are communications with the Dell Shakes to perform English and Spanish, to win English and Spanish reading. I think with the hope that sometime at some point down the line, the students will actually be able to perform in these bilingual performances. Having the clubs that are already in place at the school, having specific days at those clubs where you're only speaking the target language. So the chess club only speaks Spanish this week and then only speaks English the following week, so that everybody who's involved in those extracurricular activities has a time where they're only speaking whatever the target language is. But you know, there's going to be communication sort of internal because we don't want to put a burden on, you know, sort of the faculty advisors who are already, already giving their time to do these clubs. So I think that, you know, more communications between the board and the school are necessary. And then the third initiative is just having a more widely available school calendar that's reflecting various events, including the various cultural events at the school. And then the second objective that we had was helping create resources for the parents. And specifically, I think that in our strategic planning sessions, we were talking about helping parents sort of help their kids with the bilingual the bilingual objective, helping the English only speaking parents help their kids with their Spanish assignments, and then the Spanish speaking parents helping their children with the English assignments. So the good news is, in talking with Wanda from the Family Resource, Wanda from the Family Resource Center, that it sounds like a lot of resources are out there for all of the parents. So there's resources for the Spanish speaking parents, there's resources for the English speaking parents. But over the years, through feedback that has been received from the parents, a lot of things have changed to already assist with that. For example, the kids don't really get homework. They get sort of assignments, but then those are meant to be completed while the students are still at the school. So then they can ask for assistance from the teachers themselves. And there's all different resources available at the Family Resource Center, but that people maybe don't necessarily know, parents don't necessarily know about. So there's a parent academy, like as part of the orientation. So the thought would be to update that parent academy to have a segment that would let parents know what resources are available, like Rosetta Stone and like the Schoology program, where parents can log on and see exactly what their kids are doing. We talked about maybe creating a Zoom tutorial that parents could log on and watch the tutorial while it walks them through how to use the Schoology and the other resources that are available. So we just wanted to put it back to the board. Is there like a specific resource that you think might be helpful that could be that's not already available? Or you can tell me what it is and then I can check with Wanda to see if it is something that's available and I just don't know about it. Then we can either be adding to the Family Resource Center, or we can be making part of the parent academy so the parents are aware that it's available to them.
Marissa, I was going to share two things. One, with all the efforts around the golf tournament and the mentoring program, I know Bank of America, I called Deanna today just to make her aware that I'm connected in the bank internally in that. So if you guys aren't getting the support from Bank of America around that, feel free to shoot me a note and just trying to connect that dot so you guys know you got support on both ends. And then it sounds like with the resources, we have an adoption issue, not necessarily a resource issue. Has that part of the conversation come up? Or, I mean, do you think that it's more of an adoption challenge?
I think that not all of these resources have always been available. I think that the school has evolved over time based on feedback received from parents. So I think a lot of these initiatives came about based on feedback from Renee, but she hasn't had, her kids haven't been there for a couple of years. So I don't think that a lot of the stuff, Renee, I think when your kids were there, that there wasn't even a Family Resource Center. So I think a lot of the stuff and the resources that are available to parents wasn't, and also kids had homework and, you know, again, like if it was Spanish homework and it was an English speaking family, it was difficult for the family to assist with the homework. And that's, again, based on feedback that the school received, that they have modified that. So they're not doing that anymore. I think you're right. It's not so much that the resources aren't available as maybe people are either not aware of them or they didn't exist, you know, prior to this. So, and that's why we were talking about updating the orientation to make parents know, like, that these are all the things that you can do. Here's a 15-minute Zoom video that's going to walk you through the Schoology. Because I, you know, like, I could see the perspective. It's like another program I have to learn. I don't want to learn this program. Like, you know what I mean? But like, if you watch a 15-minute Zoom video and you see how user-friendly it is, then, you know, then it, you're more likely to log on and see what's going on to communicate with, you can communicate directly with the teachers through that program and things like that. So, but again, like not having, not having a child, let alone a child who's in school, I don't really know what other resources parents might be looking for. So it's hard to then, you know, to then go back to the Family Resource Center and say, we need this, because I don't really know what's needed. But we don't want to, like, I don't want to like fall asleep on the job for this initiative, because it is really, it's really important, or this, you know, this objective, this board objective, because it is really important. So
one of the things, Marissa, that we're doing, I mean, you mentioned the food bank, the food drive that we did on Monday, which was great. I went out there. We had so many volunteers, and it was a great event. The thing that it was inspired, we were inspired to do that because when we got involved in the Turkey-thon with WJBR, and our school just, like, it was amazing how families gave. You know, they didn't just bring one can of a vegetable, they brought a whole case. So we had so much food, and I think I mentioned to the board, we were the second largest contributor to that food drive. And because of that, they gave us $5,000 worth of free advertising. But one of the things that came out of that is that the team sort of was sharing with us, like, wow, it's amazing how when you make the ask, how people are so willing to give. And people, families that you know are struggling already were giving, you know? And that sort of inspired the idea of creating a food pantry at our school. So, you know, and that's when we contacted the food bank, and then the food bank said, well, this is something that we can do immediately, but obviously, you know, we still are working towards this food pantry idea. And I will tell you that working on this grant for Longwood Foundation, knowing what things will be more favorable than others, you know, Howard and I had been working on the narrative and the specific ask. And one of the things that we're including in there is a food pantry, because we don't know where to locate it. We don't have the space at the East Campus, but I think that if we are successful in launching a food pantry, I think that is going to really impact more families. Because if you think about it, Family Resource Center has been sort of like, they're sort of like disaster, like they react to disasters, right? There's a house fire, then we all sort of, you know, get around that family. You know, there's a death in the family, we surround that family with support. So it's very isolated, but it's those programs that I think everybody will pay attention to that will, I think, will make people realize, wow, that we have this Family Resource Center and these are the great things that they're doing, whether they're a family of need or whether they're actually somebody who will be willing to donate and support. And then, you know, and then the word will spread. So we're really excited about that opportunity.
Any other comments or questions for Marissa? Well, she's always still welcoming ideas and that would support either through initiative to reinforce the dual language and the immersion, as well as support for the parents, either way. So thank you, Marissa. Rebecca, D&I?
Yeah, let me just share my screen real quick. I did another one of my highlighting jobs. Okay, let's see. Okay, so first of all, regarding our committee work, well, the stamped discussions got underway. I hope, I know several people showed up to the first one that I attended. Margie, I understand only one person came to the next one, but hopefully everybody will get a chance to get on board for the second session of these discussions where we talk about the book Stamped by Ibram X. Kendi and talk about race and being anti-racist. So we also, in our board meeting or in our committee meeting, continued work on those sort of hover bubble definitions that we're working on to unpack the heftier terms in our equity statement. And I think we're pretty much there. We just need to do kind of a final tweak and look at it in our next meeting and also kind of go from there to think about other initiatives that we should be working on or want to be working on. And then what follows below is Dee's report, Deanna Yancey Harris, of what has been going on at Aspira this month. So I'm looking at the time and realizing I should probably motor through this pretty quickly, but we've got Aspira celebrated the Chinese New Year in a variety of ways at each campus. East Campus partnered with Panda Express and had activity booklets, coupons. I think it's great that the students who were involved with the Chinese Club at West Campus, they were the ones who hosted sessions for other West Campus students to learn more about Chinese pop culture, herbal medicine, chopsticks, Chinese zodiac, and calligraphy. And they had a martial arts presentation. And on the East Campus, there was music, and both campuses had a live Chinese brush painting. We've got some adorable pictures that I'm just sharing with you now to see some of these events in action. Black History Month is February, and so this month the theme is celebrating African heritage, emphasizing that Black history does not start with slavery in the United States, but there's a rich history, it's being approached, Black History Month, as a cultural celebration, and the resource of the book entitled African Icons was used from where students were, each grade was given a person's name or a place from the book, and then they got to study it and present on it. Spirit Week focused on Black History Month through different themes. So Tuesday, there was a focus on HBCU gear, looking at HBCUs across the country. You've got some cute pictures. Wait, when
were those pearls, Renee? Yeah. All right.
Wednesday, the theme was Black excellence, and you can see all the students dressed up in business attire to honor past and present African American role models. The BSU, the Black Student Union, held a celebration on Wednesday and inducted their group officers. On Thursday, Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement was honored, and students were encouraged to dress all in black to support against racism and hate. got a lot of pictures here. And then tomorrow will be the Afrocentric Day, and students and staff are encouraged to dress in bright patterns or African clothing, incorporating red, black, yellow, and green. On the West Campus, so we've already heard about this, special guests who graduated from HBCUs were invited, and the DSU's Pan-Hellenic Council presented, and there was a step show. We've heard about this as well from other presenters today. We've got some cool pictures here. And then the Justice PAC leaders created displays for the Chinese New Year and Black History Month. And a bulletin board also that celebrated the existence of those who are part of both cultures, so Afro-Asian cultures. And East Campus, the GSA created a Schoology page for members to help members gain access to resources and support on middle school student issues. The second annual virtual equity conference was held on February 7th. I was able to attend each session. It was fantastic, a lot of really inspiring, powerful presenters. And the DEIB leaders continue to hold their monthly meetings. And as we've already heard about, the first mobile food pantry took place on February 21st. And fed over 80 families in the community. Okay, I went through that pretty quickly, but let me know if you have any questions or want to see anything else.
That was great. I think we have an overhaul of pictures this month because my update has a lot of pictures too, but it was a very visual, you know, month. Just lots of great celebrations, and it was really rich, the decorations and all of that. So you'll see some similar pictures in my update.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Yeah, that's outstanding. Just very quickly from a PTO. Unfortunately, Anna is not able to join us this evening, but she indicated that unfortunately for the February meeting, only 4 people show up. So as Marisa mentioned, it was discussed that we seem to be having a little bit of difficulty getting the PTO organized. And in the earlier years of the school, the PTO was very, very, very active. And somehow, I would say the last 2-3 years, and honestly, the last 2 years with the pandemic, it's been difficult by not having the children at school last year, and then not having that sense of community. It's just been difficult to really get it off the ground. So I know Anna is still working very hard and trying to work with the leadership, the new leadership of the PTO. I have offered myself as a resource to have conversations and to see if we can also move it forward. They do hope that they get more participation in the upcoming meeting because they're getting concerned about having to plan activities for the children, specifically the 8th grade dance. So they're really hoping that that things will kind of change in the right direction. So I offer and Anna and I will be meeting next week and kind of brainstorm and dialogue about what we see the next steps could be, so we can re-energize that group. Because I know that early on, when they were very active, it did make a difference in terms of the contributions that the PTO made to the schools. So I hope that we can get to those levels again.
Lauren, Renee, do you have a question? I do. So is the issue membership or is it active membership?
I think
active. So back in the day, we would pay like $5 mm-hmm, and then you could only get access to the PTO site if mm-hmm. you paid your money and were a member. So yeah. Is it the membership number or just the folks aren't active that are members?
I believe it's the active piece. I think the membership have continued to be a similar numbers, but the participation, the active present, it just not happening.
Got it. Okay.
But that is part of my conversation with Anna. We just really hopefully need to get to the root cause and what is the activation and energy that we need to put in out there to re-energize the group. So, and actually, Rosalie, you had a question, or your hand was up earlier. My apologies, because I meant to acknowledge that.
Yeah, you got me as I was stepping away because my oven beeper is going off. But that was a mistake. I don't know why my hand was up.
Okay, just making sure.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, Margie, we're ready for you.
Okay. Well done. I had it open. Okay. Okay, so we had our spotlight, our enrollment. So right now we're in that period where the choice window has closed, the lottery happened the end of January, the invitations have gone out, and there's registrations are happening at this point, but families have until March 25th to make a decision. So, it's sort of slow at this time. I mean, the registrations are happening for those that are immediately accepting the invitation. But really it all gets sort of nailed down on the 25th. And that's when we start sort of then taking action with the wait list and all of that. So things are going well with that. With COVID, just wanted to give you an update. I'm sure you've heard about the state mask mandate. So it was lifted for indoor facilities and restaurants and things, but for schools, it's in place and through the end of March. But as is traditional for Delaware, we have local control. So school districts and charter schools are able to then decide what they're gonna do. So, we have the authority to continue the mask mandate if we feel that that's in the best interest of our students and our community. So what we are gonna be doing is on March 7th, we're hosting 4 listening sessions. So we're gonna do 2 with the team, and then 2 with families, one in English, one in Spanish, as we usually do. But the intent of these listening sessions is to basically have the dialogue, to talk about where are we with COVID and what is the path forward. We want to, this is something that we found really worked well throughout the whole COVID process. We have tried to be as transparent as possible, have these dialogues, host these listening sessions and really allow people to sort of hear what is the sort of the considerations being taken into account in our decision, as opposed to just coming out with a decision. So we're looking forward to having those conversations. And, obviously just like everything else, we're probably gonna be split right down the middle, 50-50, right? So probably half the people will want to just take their mask off the end of March. Others are going to probably want to keep it on, so till the end of the school year. And I don't know if we land maybe, somewhere in the middle as far as a compromise. I think the biggest concern is the spring break and the impact the spring break could have, which happens the second week of April. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But if you I will be glad to share the links with you guys if you guys want to join us in those discussions. But we'll see how it goes. We promised the community that we would make a decision the week of March 14th. Like we want to give everybody 2 weeks notice at least as to which direction we're taking. So if we're not going to, stop the, eliminate the mask mandate, then we want to tell them. If we're going to keep it, then we also want them to be prepared for the fact that they still need to be wearing them starting April. So that's the timeline that we've agreed to. Any questions about that?
Margie, are you able to keep metrics on, I know that I have asked a question, metrics on vaccination? Because I mean, that should play some role into the decision.
What's hard is, so we're at 90% for the team,
for the staff,
right?
Yeah.
We're only at 20% for the students. And so that's based on what we have recorded. So that's, and so are there possibly more students vaccinated? It's possible, but it's almost like how much more, how many more times can we ask, can you please, let us know and so that we can record where we are. But yeah, the nurse gave
me an update. That could be part of the dialogue during the listening sessions that, you're doing this, but you're also gathering that kind of data and you're trying to use science to help you make the most informed decision for the safety of everybody. And yeah. I tell you, something that really hit me was, I can make an individual decision for my child, but if I see it from the teacher's perspective that I need to be surrounded by 25 students and in the higher grade, potentially 75, 100 students because they rotate classrooms, is a different ratio than just making a decision for one. So, bringing that perspective into the dialogue in terms of what does it mean to the teacher, and the staff and exposure, you know, hopefully whatever decision we make is sort of the ammunition to use. So why is it that we got to the decision that we make?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Margie, have we had any vaccination clinics at the schools? I know MOT has done several, but they're definitely ramping up in March mm-hmm. in anticipation of the mask mandate being lifted. So they're really trying to get as many students as they can to participate in their clinics that are on site.
Yeah, we haven't yet, but actually we just responded to an email from DPH to schedule a meeting with them to see, because, you know, it's the coordination of, you know, who's going to like coordinate the event and staff the event, et cetera. So Lilia has a meeting next week to talk about them about a possible vaccination clinic. Yeah.
That's so Mitch Weiss, Weiss,
mm-hmm.
it organizes them for MOT. I'm sure he would share how they're doing it or who they're using.
Yeah.
And if you want me to reach out, I can do that.
No, I know Mitch. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. You know, what's difficult, you know, it's sort of, we're not a neighborhood school, right? So none of, you know, so they have to drive quite a distance for the most part to get to our school. So usually these vaccination clinics, like there's usually an opportunity for them to get vaccinated closer to home as opposed to traveling to our school. And that's why we've been hesitant to host them, because, you know, we see where the vaccination clinics are. And based on where our population is at, you know, there just seems to be other better options than coming all the way to our school. But I think at this point, you know, whatever we can do to make that just more, I guess, more readily available for them, it's difficult, because it's almost like, you know, in a way, I feel like those that are going to get vaccinated have gotten vaccinated. Like, I just feel that people have already made their decision. People are either on this side or on this side. And so there's very few that are sort of on the fence still. But, you know, Lilia has taken the lead on working with DPH to see how we can maybe coordinate at least one event between now and the end of March.
I think that's right. The best you can do. I think you're right. I think people have made decisions. I will say MOT is not a neighborhood school either, right? So in a similar position, right? And when I think back to my days at Aspira on the East Campus anyway, you get a fair number of parents that come out to a basketball game. So those same parents can come out to a vaccination clinic.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I do think it is a decision that they have to make. So I'd say offer one as an opportunity and see if you get no response, then you know where people fall. And I think MOT has gotten some mixed results. I think they've had a couple. Some have been heavily attended and others maybe not so much, but I think it's worth a try.
Yeah, no, I agree. So culture and climate, and so you've heard some of these things. You know, the culture and climate team does a lot of the coordination of these different types of events. So in January, we had the Kindness Week, you know, we incorporated, so it's not just celebrations, but these themes are incorporated in the curriculum and in the lessons. So I loaded this into the portal so you can look at the pictures. In February, we had the National School Counselors Week, but we also went through the nomination process for our Teacher of the Year and the Educational Support Professional of the Year. So if you recall, that's this is only the second year that they have this. So, you know, for years or for decades, we've only had a Teacher of the Year, and really those that were not teachers did not have the same opportunity to be recognized. But now at the state level, they have this SP award. So you can see there all the people that were nominated. And so it's so cool that, you know, the culture and climate team really take the lead on this and present each of the nominees with a certificate that's framed. And so when you're in the school and you're walking around, you'll see this frame, you know, posted outside their door. So here are some pictures of that's Danny. She's one of our bus drivers, and she also works in the kitchen. She's part of the nutrition team. And that's Nemo. Nemo's also a bus driver, but he also works in facilities. He's actually our landscaping guy. He does an amazing job. And then this is one of our teachers. So, you know, this is Allison. So it's nice to see that they really appreciate the nomination. Now we're going through the process of the next level of who exactly will be designated as the teacher of the year for our school and the professional, the SP of our school. The other thing is the discipline report. So you can see that in the month of February, East Campus, definitely things have peaked up a little bit. You know, it's funny how all these things are sort of interrelated. You know, whether you're talking about the PTO participation, you're talking about behavior in schools, you know, you're talking about teachers feeling burnt out, like COVID has impacted us in so many different ways, you know. And, you know, you can see that the students are still sort of getting acclimated to being in a school environment and dealing with conflicts. And, you know, there's just some maturity that still needs to happen and some learning that needs to happen. So we definitely have felt the brunt of that in the month of February. The month of March, I'll just warn you, tends to be bad as well. Month of March is a long month because we do have the one day off for students on March 4th, but we go a long stretch, you know, with no days off before spring break. So March tends to be a tough one as well. At the West Campus, you know, things are going pretty smooth. I mean, they're older students, you know. You know, I think that the biggest thing that we've had sometimes is more like, you know, it's the relationships, the PDA that we need to keep an eye on. But overall, you know, I've been there all week because Debbie's on vacation and you know, the kids are good. And, you know, I think they're more quiet than anything, you know, but they're still getting used to being in school. And, you know, if you ask any of them, how are you doing? Everyone said, they always say I'm tired, which I always, you know, get a good laugh out of. I'm like, what two jobs are you working that I don't know about? Like, why are you always tired? But, you know, think about it. Last year, many of these kids, you know, their schedule was completely different. So they're still adjusting. East Campus, you'll see all the great things that are going on. You know, I have the heads of school provide me with these updates. It's important. I think it's a good exercise for them too, to sort of, you know, pull out the highlights, because when you're in the school and overseeing the operations of a school building, you know, you tend to sort of, you know, get bogged down with a lot of the you know, sort of the fires. And it's nice sometimes to force yourself to actually put down all the highlights. So I know it's something that they enjoy doing, but, once again, like you saw with Lisa, you know, a lot of the great ideas that, and traditions that we've created at Aspida have come from the teachers. It's come from team members saying, hey, what about this? And this is a perfect example. One of our teachers had, you know, introduced the spread the word about the National Down Syndrome Association. And, now it's become a school tradition. So they were able to sell t-shirts to raise money. We have testing going on. So NAEP is an assessment that we do at the high school. It was actually a condition of our recent grant from New Schools, but we also were selected to have fourth and eighth grade do the assessment from the state. So they went through the assessments. And then the APPLE assessment is the assessment that we use to measure their Spanish proficiency. So that will be done by March 1st. And then we have WIDA. So WIDA is the assessment for our English learners. So there's been a lot of that testing going on at both campuses. We mentioned the Black History Month, the different days, lots of pictures in here. It was a decorative couple of months. Feel free to go through those in the portal. And lots of pictures. A picture's worth a thousand words, right? At the West Campus, as you heard, Lisa talked about the annual day of giving. If you recall, like, you know, Lisa and Debbie and the team at the West Campus had planned this great day where the students were actually going to go off site. So they were going to be like at the Ministry of Giving, or they were going to, or Ministry of Caring. They were going to be at the food bank. They were going to be off site doing this community work. But because we didn't come back in person, remember, we had to come back remote because of the infection rate, they had to quickly then change to doing something in the school. So it was really cool that they were able to still do something with that effort. They had open house, you know, in high school, we sort of have the first half of the year and then the second half of the year. So we had the second semester open house for our families. And then they're continuing to do traditions like the Friendship the Friendship Day, and they have fundraisers going on. Our cheerleaders are trying to raise money to go to camp over the summer. And got the Chinese New Year and the Black History Month conferences taking place this week. We have a student recognition breakfast on Monday. And then we have spring sports happening. And then one of the traditions too is having an ice cream social after each marking period to celebrate with the students that achieved honor roll. Sports, the winter season has wrapped up. And you know, as you can imagine, this is our sports, our athletics program is sort of in, you know, a work in progress. The students are continuing to grow, and so their records don't necessarily always show the great effort that they've put into the, you know, learning the sport and building their skills. And spring sports are now starting. So we are still, last I heard though, we are still in need of a baseball coach. So if you know anybody, please refer them to us. So that's at middle school, and then high school. High school, same thing. We've wrapped up the winter sports, and spring sports are kicking up. So we're going to have softball and the girls soccer and the boys volleyball, which is cool. Like, boys volleyball is something new that we're doing. We usually did not, you know, usually the only spring sport for boys was baseball, but at the high school, we've discovered that, we don't have as much interest. There's more students interested in boys volleyball than baseball right now. So, you know, that's the thing about, you know, having a new high school, and as we're still sort of evolving with the enrollment, it's really going to be dictated by the students and how many sports can we actually put together, how many teams. And that's my update. Any questions?
No, thank you, Margie. Great job as always.
Thank you. She's doing a great job.
Great. I think take us to the end of our agenda. Anything else? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second? All those in favor?
Awesome.
Bye. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Good evening.
And I'm going to stop recording.
Thank you.
Yes. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yes. Thank you.